Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
Yeah, and in a sport filled with unsung heroes, I have the privilege today of welcoming yet another, and that is Danny Ramsey, who is the longtime exercise writer for trainer Ken McPeak. He has worked with so many trainers over the years, and he has done so much in what has been a fantastic and highly interesting life, and he is with me now here on Unsung Heroes. Danny, good morning, and thanks for the time.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, I texted Kenny McPeak, and I asked him if he had anybody he felt should be recognized as an unsung hero on this particular segment, and he didn't hesitate. He sent me your name right away.
Okay.
I don't know if you view yourself as an unsung hero, but your life to me is fascinating. An ordained minister.
Yes.
You once shared a place with Bob Marley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I met him. I met him in the Bahamas. You know, I met Bob Marley in the Bahamas. He put a concert on over there when I was riding races in the Bahamas, and that's how I met him.
And a black belt in karate. Is that right?
Yeah, I study it for a long time, but I haven't really fallen into it like the way I used to 35 years ago because I've been so busy with the horses, and the horses take all of my time between the horses and the ministry. I really didn't have no time for that. So, right.
Well, I want to talk about how you first were introduced to horses, but let's start with what you're doing with Kenny McPeak. Tell me about your role with Kenny and that relationship.
Well, Kenny and I, I was working for John Ward at the time before he retired. And I worked for three trainers in my lifetime. I worked for Winnick, W-I-N-I-C-K, Arnold Winnick and Albert Winnick. And when they passed, they died. I went off on my own, my partners, Bill Dickman. We had some horses together, really cheap horses that called the racetrack, and it didn't turn out like the way I wanted to turn out. So John Ward came to me at Palm Beach Downs one morning, and he said, "Danny, he said I have a problem on the track, and the problem was Fujiji Pegasus. No one could ride him." And he said to me, everybody said, get Danny to ride him because everybody would ride and he would throw them. I mean, he would just take them off of his back. And so I told John, I said, John, I'll ride him for you, but I need you to leave me alone and let me ride him the way I think he should be ridden because he's really rotten. He was nasty. And I got him going. And after I got him going, John Ward said, why don't you give up these cheap horses and come and work for me, Danny? And I thought about it, and I said, okay, John. I told the guys, come and get their horses. And I start to work with John, and I work with John and until he retired in 2011. And I start to work with John from 2000. And 2011, he retired. And Kenny was trying to get me to work for him even before John retired. And I told him, I said, Kenny, I'm loyal to John. My loyalty is second to none. And I said, as long as I'm working for John, I will not leave John. And when John retired, Kenny said, okay, you don't have no more excuse. You can come work for me now. And I said, okay. And the first year I started to work for Kenny was 2012. And we won the Travis Stake with Golden Ticket, the first year I worked for him. And Kenny and I have a great relationship. I have a lot of respect for him, and he's a hard worker. And Kenny can pick a horse. I mean, he can really, really buy babies. And I've been around Winnick, and I've been around John Ward, and I think Kenny is the best. He's got an eye like an eagle. And we won a lot of stake races. And maybe this year we can do the same like we did last year. And we had a little setback with the quarantine here in Saratoga. But we're going to be all right. You know, we're going to come through this, and we're going to win some stake races this year. We're going to win a lot of stake races this year.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I wouldn't put it past you, and I wouldn't put it past Kenny. How about Swiss Skydiver? Have you gotten on her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I galloped her. Yeah. Last year, they couldn't get out the gate. And Kenny, I was up in the upper barn at Canaan, and Kenny caught, he said, I need you to go down to the bottom barn. He said, they cannot get Skydiver out of the gate, Swiss Skydiver. So I said, okay. And I went down there, and I took her to the gate, and their hands spring out of the gate with me. And she was looking at the guys on the ground. So I told the guys, I said, the next time I bring her to the gate, she's going to break out. So they said, what makes you think you can get out the gate and the rest of the guys can't get her out? I said, well, when I bring her back to the gate, I'll show you she'll come out of the gate. What she was doing, when they opened the gate, she was looking at the guys on the ground. And when I brought her, when I took her back to the gate, I put a shadow on her. You know what is a shadow?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I put a white shadow on her, and I took her back to the gate. And when they opened the gate, she came out really, really fast. She came out good. So when I went back to the gate, the guys asked me, they said, how you get this filly out of the gate? And nobody could get this filly out of the gate. I said, well, when y'all opened the gate, what she was doing, she was looking at y'all more than focusing in coming out of the gate. And with the shadow roll, she looked at the shadow roll more than she looked at the guys on the ground. And bam, she came out like really, really fast.
Wow.
Yeah, she really did.
Wow, what a cool story. You're talking with Danny Ramsey, the longtime exercise rider for Ken McPeak. He is this week's unsung hero. Danny, tell me more about growing up in the Bahamas. How did you get introduced to horses? And tell me about the early days of Danny Ramsey.
Okay. My uncle had racehorses in the Bahamas. And when I was like 6 and 7 years old, I used to go over by his house because he lived a block away from our house in Nassau. And we live off of East Street called Strong Corner. And my uncle used to live to the next corner. And I used to go over there and clean the horse's stall. 7 years old, I was doing this. And I really, really loved the horses. And my brother, Austin, he was a jock. And he used to put me on the horses over there, my uncle's horses. And I used to ride the horses around in the paddock. And after all of that happened, my dad, he died. My dad died when I was 7. And my mom died a year later when I was 8. And my sisters and brothers, I had 5 siblings under me. And I had 2 sisters older than I am. And they went to live with different families and uncles and aunts. And my brother said, I'm going to keep Danny. I really didn't want to stay with him. But anyhow, I lived with him for a while, and he would leave me in the house. And 8, 8 and a half, 9 years old, I learned how to cook when I was 9. Really, I'm telling you, I really learned how to cook when I was 9 years old because my brother was never around. And he kept me because he knew I wanted to be a jock. And he got married, and I stayed with him for a while. And he was kind of very abusive. He physically abused me. And one day he really, really physically abused me, whipped me really, really bad. And I ran to my uncle, and I told my uncle, and I say, "Uncle," he said, "could you let me stay here with you? I don't want to go back to live with my brother anymore." And my uncle said, "Well, you know, I got one room, and I have two kids, and just a bedroom and a kitchen and a little living room." But he said, "I tell you what I'll do." He said, "I want you to go home and get whatever you can get out of the house. I'll take you to the racetrack in the morning." So I said, "Okay." And I went back home. I sneaked back home. And I heard my brother, who was physically abusing me, he was sleeping. And I went into the house. He was really snoring. That's how come I know he was asleep, because he was snoring real hard. And he had a shotgun to the head of the bed. And I pick up the shotgun to shoot him with that shotgun. And I put the shotgun down. I said, "If I kill this guy," well, I use another word, you know. I said, "If I kill him, I'll go to jail, and I'm not going to give him that satisfaction." And I put the gun down, and I walk out of the house. My uncle took me to the truck the next morning, and he gave me to a trainer. And he told the trainer, said, "You keep him." And school was closed then, so I was at the track. I would clean the stalls, and I would walk the horses. I would give the horses a bath. And the trainer, Link, he said, "Let me teach you how to ride." And he put me on horses, and I learned how to ride. I learned how to pose. And my brother, Austin, came down to the track because he heard I was at the racetrack. And he came to Link, and Link said, "His uncle gave him to me, and I'm going to keep him." And so my brother said, "This is where you want to be?" I said, "This is where I want to be." And he'd walk away, and the rest is history. And wow. I started riding races. And they have a picture with me in the National Geographic book. I'm in the National Geographic book. Apprentice riding, 12 years old, apprentice riding, Danny Ramsey. In 1967, the National Geographic, 1967. I'm in that book.
Wow.
Yeah. And I started riding, and I started winning races, and the rest is history.
Well, Danny, you go from a young child whose parents
right.
passed away when you were
right.
around 7 and 8 years old, and
right.
abused by your brother, and now you are here in the United States. Did you ever think you'd be the guy sitting aboard a Kentucky Derby winner at some point in your life?
No, not really. I always believed that I would get a chance to ride big horses and nice horses because I work hard. My work ethic is second to none. You know, I work real, real hard. When I came over here, my brother who was over here, he passed 2 years ago. He's the pastor of the church where I'm a minister. And he came to Nassau, and he said, "Why don't you come to the U.S.? He said, "I know a man called Mr. Winnick. I would like to introduce you to Mr. Winnick." And I said, I put it off for a year, and after the track was getting ready to close, they said it was going to close Hobby Horse Hall down. And I said, "Well, let me take a shot." And I came over to Delray, and Mr. Winnick had a farm called Delray Training Center. My brother took me out there to him, and he put me on a horse. And after I finished riding the horse, he said, "The job is yours if you want it." And I said, "All right, sir." And I worked with him. I worked with him until he died for 26 years. I rode all the horses. He had horses like Hold Your Peace. He had horses like Mitterrand, Don't Stop the Music, Le Naturel. All those horses I rode for Mr. Winnick. I galloped for Mr. Winnick. And he was like a father to me. I loved him so much. I loved that man. And I never had a father besides my father that passed, but he was like a father to me. And when he passed, it was really, you know, I was just broken up over it. I really was. And I give you the story. He had prostate cancer, and about 3-4 months before he died, he came to see me. He came to the farm. He was in a wheelchair because he couldn't walk. And he said to me, he said, you know, I want you to do something for me. I said, what would you like for me to do? He said, I want you to go and get checked for prostate cancer. He said, when you get 40 years old, I was about 39 then. And he said, when you get 40, go get checked. He said, if I had to go and get checked out, I would live a long time. But he said, the cancer went to my bone and I don't have long to live. And I said, all right, Mr. Winnick, I will do it. And Neil Winnick, Mr. Winnick's son, he called me up one night. It was 8 o'clock. He said, Dan, Dad, don't have long to live. And I asked him who else he would like to talk to. He said, my dad talked to my sister. He talked to his grandkids and he talked to his son-in-law. And he said, who else you would like to talk to? He said, call Dan on the farm. And Neil called me, and when Neil called me, Neil said, Dan, he said, he's not doing good, but he cannot respond to you, but you talk to him, you tell him. And I said to him, Neil put the phone to his ear, and I said, you're the only father I have known, you're the only father I have. And I said, I'm getting emotional even thinking about it. So I told him, I said, I love you like a father, and you treat me like a son. And I said, my kids and my wife, we all love you. And I said to him, I said, you and I are going to meet again. I said, I will meet you again. I said, I would meet you in heaven. And I said, I promise I will meet you there. And I love you. I love you a lot. And Neil said, Dan, he said, he's smiling. He is smiling, Dan. He is smiling. And about an hour after that, close to 2 hours, Neil called me back and said he died. So, yeah.
Well, Danny, yeah. What a beautiful, beautiful story. And your life has been unbelievable. And I know there are more cherished moments ahead.
Oh, definitely.
I can't thank you enough for spending time to tell your story on this edition of Unsung Heroes. Wonderful story. And we will look forward to hearing more from you in the future. All the best going forward, my friend. And thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. My pleasure. Anytime.
Danny Ramsey here on Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne. I'll be back with more right after this word from Claiborne.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired 6 millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include graded stakes winner Plum Ali.
But it's going to be Plum Ali, and she's now 3 for 3.
Sharp Samurai, international star Shivaji, and Birdie Queen, plus these standout performers. In the ring, his yearlings sold up to $260,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.